Hey, 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 welcome to A Better Way to Pay. This is webinar number two, and I love this topic. I spent some time this weekend working on the stuff that I'm going to be sharing today. So I've even been practicing. I've worked with a client since I signed him up as a Benjamin Franklin plumber about 10 years ago, and they are still good friends, and we went through some of these exercises this weekend, and I was so excited that I get to share them with you. So the intention is to be ready to rock for 2017 with a game plan for creating a better way to pay at your company. So let's make sure you guys can be heard and I can be heard. So in the question box, go ahead and type in, "I can hear you." That would be awesome. And then we will use the question boxes and the chat boxes, perhaps, to send information back and forth and to point out some of the tools that we've got for you to use throughout the course of the program. Super excited about this! And I'm going to get my screens set up so that I can, be at the ready with some of the... Let's make sure we get this Better Way to Pay team building site up. So I'm going to have the tools that we gave you, I'm going to go through today during the course of our phone call. Is this one? I want it on Facebook. Let's make sure we get this here. Yay! I was going to say we have one more minute. We do not. It is time to rock and roll. So, who can hear me? Who can see? I don't see anybody who can hear me. Michelle, are you still there?
I'm good. Ellen, they can hear you. It's in the questions. They can hear you.
Okay, I don't see anything in the questions. Am I doing this wrong? What am I doing wrong? I'm looking at questions and I got crickets. I got crickets in the questions.
Hold on. Let me do something really quick and I'm going to see if you can see it now.
Hey, good morning, loud and clear. Okay, and I want to make sure this isn't can you hear me all right? It's not, there's no feedback or anything?
No, I hear you great.
Okay. All right, we're off to the races then. Let me get to my slideshow and we'll kick it off. Yay, welcome to A Better Way to Pay. I have made a lot of mistakes when it comes to how to pay people. I've made mistakes with my own team and I've made some very challenging mistakes with other folks. But good news for you, I'm now old and have a ton of experience helping people start, fix, and grow their businesses, and I've learned so much about how we can create a way to pay that doesn't get in the way of you building a phenomenal team, that rewards the right stuff, the behaviors that we want to see happen and expand at our company. Give me a yes if you believe that the best part of being in business is helping people on your watch get better. That someone who comes to work with you is better as a result of their association with you. And that would be better. Yeah, yes, capital, Tessa, nice. Yeah, that's the good stuff, is that someone comes to work with you and as a result of the relationship that you have, that you both grow and you move in the direction of your hopes and dreams. Now, the way you pay is a subset of creating a really great game at your company, and we're going to get specific about it, but each class I'm going to remind us to look at the horizon and remember that why you do what you do is so compelling, it can be so compelling, that people will put up with stuff they don't like. They'll put up with a scratchy uniform. They'll put up with long hours. They'll put up with some things that, you know, I'm going to live with until we can change it, as long as their goals and vision align with yours and that they feel like they have an opportunity to grow and expand while they're engaged in your company. You know, while they're on your train, right? They can get off the train, that's fine, but while they're on the train, that they are going to be making their own hopes and dreams and goals come true. And I don't think anybody does it better than my buddy Howard Partridge, so I'm super excited to have the opportunity to partner with Howard. This is not the best This is not the best quality picture, but I think this picture sums up my relationship with Howard more than anything else. He and I love, love, love to see people get better, have fun, make their dreams come true. Howard Partridge is a dream maker, and he has inspired me to be one too. So thank you to Howard, wherever you are on the planet today. I saw him on the Texas Stadium yesterday. What? That's pretty cool. Hey, I see John, please expand your screen. My screen is expanded. So if on your end you can make it bigger, this is the biggest it goes on my end. So I hope that that's working for you, or otherwise you put your nose up to the screen. Fair enough. All right. So also, as you grow your company or consider growing your company, some of the people who have signed up are small companies who just don't want to make a zillion mistakes before they start hiring people. I wish I'd been that smart. That's an awesome motivation for coming on board the class. One of the philosophies you're going to see over and over and over again is that the simpler you make your pay plan, the more powerful it is. The simpler you make every aspect of your company, the easier it is to grow it. On the screen right now is our new Zoom Drain logo. We just are rebranding our company. Some of you know that I'm also the president of a drain cleaning franchise. So this is good for you because I come to the party with some humility. It's not me in an ivory tower telling you what you should do. I'm actually a business owner making mistakes and learning things from my team every single day. And I'm real excited to share with you our brand new brand. But what we're finding at Zoom is the reason why we're able to franchise it, expand it, grow it, is because we're making things uber simple. In fact, a big part of my job as the president is to route out when it's getting fancy. I call it fighting fancy. Because you go to a seminar, you listen to a book on a recording, I'm dating myself, your team gets engaged and they come up with all sorts of ideas, and we have to walk this razor's edge sometimes about adopting a better way and then being willing to cut something else out. It would be great, we're not going to get political here, but it would be great if overall our government worked in such a way that when someone proposed a new law, we either looked at a law we had and fixed the one we had, or we got rid of one as we put a new one in. Isn't that what's frustrating with the government? Well, instead of whining about that, look to your own heart, look to your own family, look to your own business to see if you can't model that kind of behavior. How simple and elegant and fair and transparent and good can we make it? And when in doubt, go with the simpler method. John, I'm glad you're up and running. Sounds good. Hey, just for my benefit here, is there anybody on the call who does want a franchise or grow in maybe a multi-shop way? If you do, then the simpler you make it is going to allow you to do that. But consider that if we get the system so solid and awesome at location number one, it's really our only chance of that translating remotely. You see where I'm going? Oh, there's Linda. Yeah, yay, you get this. Linda, you've heard this before. Woo! All right, so there's Howard and me, and here's a little overview of what we're going to be doing today. Many of you on the call attended the first webinar. It is recorded on the replay page, and we're going to go there in just a moment. The audio quality wasn't great. I hope I sound better today. I switched up my microphone. I was not pleased with the audio quality of the first webinar. Now, it does not allow you to say that this program is no good. It just justifies why this price is 1/100th of what it should be. Fair enough. You might need to turn the volume down a little bit on the first audio so that it sounds a little better. But hopefully my microphone sounds good today. It's all good. You can hear it okay. Sounds good. And we've got Michelle recording it for us. So thanks, Michelle, for that. All right. Now, the first webinar was a freebie. It was an intro and overview. If you are joining us for the second video or the second webinar today, and a lot of you are, yay, I'm glad you signed up, You can get the first one and listen to it, and you can get caught up. But as of today, is TikTok the game is locked? Because what I'd like to do is make this a very interactive program, increasingly interactive with each of the webinars. So you can't come in late now at this point and sign up. This is the group. So welcome aboard, and thank you very, very much. Today, we're going to assess the mess. You may not have made a mess at your place, but mess rhymes with assess, so that's what we're using. But what we're going to do today is I'm going to share with you some tools, some tactics for getting clear with what you have created so far so that you can grandfather in or fix or make as fair as possible the current way you have, with the current people you have. It does not mean that moving forward you couldn't do something different, but we don't want to blow up the team that you have. So we're going to look at the current structure and see if we can make it as fair as possible, maybe equally unfair to everybody, and then make some decisions for what we want to do moving forward. So as the subsequent webinars tick off, I'm hoping that you be engaged in the process and bring your homework to the party. So each week I'll give you a piece of homework or a form or something to look at, and then you bring yourself to the party with your unique way to pay, and we can customize this to work for you. Oh, one more thing. Remember, we also have the Facebook page. I'm going to be announcing some office hours for next Tuesday evening. For those of you who can't make the live call, I will do a couple of office hours. The first one is going to be Tuesday. You have email access to me. I know that because some people are taking advantage of it. Woo! And you and me and we together are going to help each other improve the way we pay. Keep in mind that if you have something trademarked, this came up with one of our folks this weekend. If you have something trademarked or you're not comfortable sharing, then make sure you make that clear to me. I do want, for those of you who are brave enough, to share portions of your story or portions of your system so that we can learn from one another. Fair enough? Okay, so I'm going to review what we talked about last time and make sure I can help people get caught up if they're joining in now and missed the first call. Here's my here's what I want to underline from the last class. All right, gut through the holiday bonus. What that means is whatever you did last year for your holiday bonus, I suggest you do it this year. Do not expect gratitude. Do not expect anything. Just who knows if it's them or it's you or whatever. Don't get your underwear in a bunch about it. I had a guy who wrote $30,000 worth of checks last year and nobody said thank you. You know, I think the year-end bonus is just a weird thing. There are ways to do it and you can revise it for 2017, but I consider the holiday bonus a sweetener, a cherry on top. I would not encourage you to make that a significant portion of their compensation. But whatever you did last year, they're putting something on layaway, they're counting on it. If you change that, I think you're going to create more harm than good. So you can start announcing, and I would do it individually with team members. I'm going to do what I did last year. And I have a project right now to overhaul the way we pay. Now, I don't want to do it in such a way that I startle people or scare them off. I know when I mess with the way that I pay you, that could create some concern or upset, right? And you're going to get their buy-in, their understanding. Be transparent with them as far as what your intentions are. I want to create a way to pay that's based on performance, that's fair to people, where women and men have the same opportunity. You know, as we start to fix these things in our company, we can set an example for society and for the rest of the world. That's what I see. That's my vision. As the leader of the company, you're always pointing to the horizon so that we can bear the challenges between here and there. All right, so gut through the holiday bonus and communicate individually with everyone on your team that you're looking to do something differently for the coming years. I will revisit the holiday bonus before we leave this webinar program. All right, but today that's all I'm going to say about it. Now I want you to review the replay page, webinar number one, download the files, join the Facebook page, circle the troops. let me just escape. I'm going to escape from the PowerPoint and go over to the tools for a second. This is the Phenomenal Products Facebook page. You should be invited to it. If you are not invited to it, send an email to Victoria@phenomenalproducts.com. Victoria@howardpartridge.com. Michelle, I don't know if you're still listening, but if you want to type that into the chat box or the question box, that would be great. Let Victoria know if you need any help with some of these basic tools, if you can't access them for whatever reason. But the Facebook page is great, and look, people even sent over homework. I'm so excited about this. If you feel comfortable sharing with the group, posting your homework and your thoughts and your experiences on the Facebook page is hugely important, okay? Do it. So the finals then for session number one. So number one, get on the Facebook page, please. Please. That's what my nephew used to say, please. Please. And then pay attention to this website here. Victoria will be sending it out. If you're not getting this information, email Victoria. There it is. Thank you, Michelle. Victoria@howardpartridge.com. Howard, and then partridge like the bird, .com. Victoria@howardpartridge.com. She is my BFF as well as Michelle. The team over there is so awesome, and they're helping facilitate this. If you're not getting these things, let her know. And if there's a problem with downloading this stuff, find a 15-year-old. Everybody on the planet needs some IT support anymore. You're going to need someone who will help you access electronic files, etc. At howardpartridge.com/how-to-pay-series-replay. See this email address up here. And I can copy and paste this too. I'm going to type this right in the message. Okay, this is your replay page. And on the replay page, you're going to have an ever-expanding list of resources. You may not need to use all of them, but I'm going to dump great files. My book, The Bare Bones Biz Plan, is on here, documents, all sorts of things that are going to help you on our journey. Not all of them you need to access, but each week I'll be adding to this. I sent a few files over to Victoria yesterday, so there'll be some more coming for this week's exercise. I've got an additional org chart, some other things. So watch the course resources here, and then you would click on them to open them up, and then you can download them. I just downloaded this, so it's still up. All right, and then so if we have the resources, you're also then going to see the webinars. Where are the resources? Oh, there they are. Okay, it just updated. How about that? That's so cool. They're on it. So you will see the most current webinar. This is last week's webinar number one, and then you can get the audio. How nice is that? All right, here's a description of each of the webinars, and then here are the additional resources. Oh, you're just too adorable. They're up there. So this check, we'll go through this in just a second. This checklist is worth the price of admission alone. I'm super excited about that. Customizable employer-employee manual. So as you, here, like for this one, you would click on it and download it, and then you can, if you've got a Mac, it'll look just like this. You can show it in Finder, and then you can save it, etc. If you have something else, have your 15-year-old whiz kid somewhere in your life come and help you with some of these IT challenges. But this page, they're all going to be up there. We're going to leave it up for a long, long time. Download the stuff at your leisure. If you miss the class, this is where you'll find all of the webinars, recordings, and the tools to use to help us along the way. Is this good enough? I love it. Thank you. So excited about the opportunity to share this information in this way. All right, and then circle the troops. The last thing I want to say about the homework for last week or the review from last week is let people know at your company, and I would do it individually and then announce it in a meeting. I never try to surprise people with something that might cause some upset in a group setting. So what I'll do is say, hey, at the next meeting, I'm going to announce this to everybody, but before that, I wanted to give you a heads up. Some people don't like surprises. And assure them that you're not going to change the way you pay yet. Not till you thoughtfully plan it out. Not till you start to track some results and make sure that someone isn't going to move down the ladder. You're going to do this in a way that it's going to be a benefit, or you're not going to do it. That's what you want to communicate to your team. Nothing creates more ripples of uncertainty than to mess with their pay. That's what I've learned. And if you can back that up, if you've done something willy-nilly or too in a fashion that's way too cavalier, go ahead and share that on the question box. All right, so today what we're going to do is assess the mess. And I'm going to give you my favorite. I'm going to share with you how I do that with my clients, with our own company, to make sure that what we're doing is cool. By the way, this was my Halloween costume, and I just didn't have another place to put it on the website, on the webinar, so I thought you would probably love that. Okay. All right, so we went through the you can find all the information, just re-showing that on this slide, and then the next thing I want to dig into is the better way to pay checklist. All right, so we're digging into the content now for webinar number 2. This is going to be to assess the mess. And this is the better way to pay checklist. So I'm going to go find it in real time. Be patient with me as I go back and forth with these tools. So right here on the replay page, you're going to scroll down and find the checklist. It says print ASAP. You can download this. It is a Word document. It is not protected. I want you to customize this and make it your own. For those of you who hung out with me during the Financial Blast, and it was an awesome course, it inspired me to do this one. I love the format. We had a checklist, and the checklist was by far and away the most popular feature of that course. So I made another one for this, and this is a really helpful tool. It gets uber good if you will customize it. And in this program, there's more customization needed than in the financial program. Financials are pretty straightforward. Everybody has a balance sheet and a profit and loss. Everyone can use a tool like the Financial Quick Check and the month-end checklist with not that much customization, really. This one is going to be different. I want to make sure that the philosophy of a better way to pay is incorporated in your company, but I am open to blessing many, many ways that you could pay as long as you are aware of the pros and cons and the way things can cut both ways, etc. This is the checklist that's going to help you through your journey. It is perhaps the most important tool I'm giving you. So there's a little bit of information at the top to remind you what to block off on your calendar for the dates. We're not going to do it on Thanksgiving week. I'm going to be training with the Zig Ziglar team the week that ends on November 19th, so we're going to bump that to a Saturday. That may be helpful for people who can't make the live calls, and we are going to supplement those calls with office hours, and the first one is this coming Tuesday. All right, so I hammered out the big rock items that you may want to tackle on this journey together between now and the end of the year, for instance. If it takes you a little longer, that's cool. Nobody's going to come and get your dog. You'll be just fine. But this allows you and your team, the people who are helping you, perhaps revamp the way you pay, have something to hang on to. But if you want to add to it, you do. You just edit this. If I don't have it in the proper order for how you are planning to do this, move it. All right, so don't be bound by the checklist. Start from the checklist. Put the dates on, pay holiday bonuses like you did, announce it. I do it individually before I do it in a group. Review this checklist. Okay, I may also edit it. If somebody brings up something, I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I didn't put that on the checklist. I may edit and update it, so watch for that. Implement a wage pause. Okay, this is really important too. I would absolutely at this point tell your team, I know that we need to revamp the way we pay, and I have got to buy myself a little time with you. If you've made a promise, if you said to Joe, listen, you're going to get a raise on November 15th, you've got to make good on that promise. Like, use your judgment in terms of what's going to make life easiest. If you made a promise, I wouldn't back out of the promise. I would work around that. All right? And if the promise is going to create something that is going to shoot you in the foot financially, you could raise your prices. You could go back to Joe and renegotiate. But I would look to see if I could make it work for sure. Like, I want to make good on the promise, and I want to make life easier for me. If it means that if I give Joe a raise, I'm going to also have to give other people a raise, make good on the promise now, and then freeze it. Pause. Tell people, I've got to get my thoughts together on this. The reason you joined this program may be because you're just frustrated with that 5 p.m. call on Friday afternoon, or knock on your door on Friday afternoon, got a minute, and then you get the sales spiel as to why they need to make more money, or someone else is recruiting them, or all that stuff. This is what we're going to try and get rid of, is that knock on the door, and instead replace it with something that if somebody wants a raise, they know how they could get it, and this can be hard, that there may be a limit to how much money you can make at your company. So while we're revamping the way to pay, and what we don't have time for in this webinar series, but you will have time for moving forward, is you've got to also look at the training engine. If someone leaves, we can't be held hostage. This is why we end up doing some really goofy side deals. So if someone leaves, we also have to have on our list of projects that we need better training to get people up to speed and good enough that someone can get off the train without the train going off the tracks. All right, so this structuring of how we're going to pay people and how they could move up the ladder must align with training for which you are responsible as the owner of the company that is going to help your team consistently move up the ladder and know when the ladder stops. At some point, they may get off the train, and someone else moving up the ranks is going to take their position. Do you see the dynamic of that? But give yourself a little breathing moment. So implement a pause on raises, on changing things, on revamping. Do what you've promised, and then buy yourself a little time. I'm going to pause here just a second. Okay, the checklist is in a PDF. This is a doc. Mine says doc. So try downloading it and see if you don't get it. And if it is, try again, Linda. And then if you can't get it, let's go ahead and email Victoria, and she'll make sure it's up there. Let me see what it looks like over here. Oh, it does say PDF. That's not good. Okay, Linda, because you're my buddy and because I'm on the phone, do you mind right now just taking a second and asking Victoria to put that up there in a doc form? I think that's just because I don't know why I can get it this way. But we can change it. I absolutely want this to be customizable. Her email is in the chat box, victoria@howardpartridge.com, and everybody should have Victoria's email address. So check the chat box. Let me see if I can do this too. I'm going to put it right in the question box as well. Okay, thank you for that. Isn't that a lovely way for us to make this work in real time? So you can see victoria@howardpartridge.com, and thank you, Linda. You're awesome for doing that for me. Okay. That is a nice way to work this through. Okay, so let me go back to the checklist. Okay, so buy yourself some time. Commit or recommit to KFP. Really, you will shoot yourself in the foot with the way you pay, unless you're keeping score on a global basis. And one of the things I'm very transparent with my team is we show them the numbers. And if at some point the numbers aren't working, we have to look at what we have to fix. So once upon a time, I was working with a client, and he was paying a straight commission of 40% to his service technicians, and he was going into debt to the tune of $10,000 a month. It was really scary. So I worked with him, and I said, you've got to knock that off. You've got to do this. Back then, I was much more of a know-it-all. And everything I recommended to him was sound. However, the timeline was not. And I left his shop on a Saturday, and on Monday, 9 of 15 people quit his company, and he ended up going out of business. Now, while that still wakes me up at night, that was the straw that broke the camel's back. I did not create that fragile company, but I didn't help either. So understand that either his prices would have had to go up in conjunction with him revamping the way he paid. He would have had to spend a lot more time communicating with the guys how the math would work so that they wouldn't make less money. He would have had to take that opportunity to say goodbye to the people he knew he had to fire anyway. Like, this can be scary stuff. You cannot lose money while attempting to make their dreams come true. This has to be a win-win-win with the company, the customers, and your team members. And the only way you'll know that is if you are really tight with your financials. So the one, the bullets that I put in place here, right here, are a reminder to recommit to the way you pay financially. All right, I have been there and did that a few times. Okay, thank you, John, for your candid comment. Hey, been there, baby, and that's why I'm smarter. I got the scars to show for it. But you don't have to make that mistake for sure. We can plan this and be more strategic. So put a budget in place, review your selling prices, and I communicate every time to the guys. They come up with an idea, like, we could do something better with our uniforms. We could get chrome wheels for the trucks. We could have a nicer set of tools for this. We could buy tools for the new kids because a lot of the new kids don't have money for tools. All of those things are great ideas. And all of those things the customer will have to pay for. So as you communicate to your team the reality of this equation, right, the balance sheet equation, assets equals liabilities plus equity, sales minus expenses should equal a positive number. We've got to make money here or this company can't survive. Your team will get it. And some of these things will be delayed, stay on the master list of projects, and other things will be energized and a price increase may be associated with that change, and that could happen if you decide to give these guys more money. Fair enough? All right, now I also included a copy. I'm moving along on the checklist now. I'm going to take a couple of detours to expand my thoughts on the checklist, but I'll keep coming back, so hang with me. Okay, on the checklist, the Bare Bones Biz Plan is one of my ebooks. There are chapters associated with weeks. It's like a 6-week program. Very aggressive if you choose to do that, but that's not what we're here to do today. We're going to use it as a resource. There is information in week 2, building the team, and week 4, getting it sold. Week 5 is getting it done. In the Bare Bones Biz Plan, I may make reference to chapters or exercises in that book. So you can read it. Awesome. Read through it, just look at the bullets and see what the resources are in that book. It's a really great book to have on your bookshelf to just, you know, do some of the exercises individually. And you can have managers, prospective managers at your company also review it. Move project to the top project status. Okay, so this way we pay is essentially a project. And so this project, for those of you who are adopting my advice of creating a master projects list and then elevating a few of those projects to top project status at your company, that's what I'm referencing here. I highly recommend that. Now, if you're using the Ziegler Planner, if you're using Michael Gerber stuff, translate that to your language. All right? Just that at some point, some things wait and other things are energized. This is a project that's moving to top project status and is now energized. And then you want to go through steps of delegation. You'll be in charge of this project, but you can get team members, if you have them, to help you. Schedule meetings for feedback. Create, refine the organizational chart. This is what we're going to jump into next on this call. Put names on the organizational chart and identify the current pay position. These two bullet points are how you assess the mess. All right, and then this all makes me remember to encourage you to put your big panties on. You're in charge of making sure the way you pay is legal in your state, that it's going to work. If you've done some goofy things, what's your exposure? That's on your list. I included an employee-employer manual. What you can do between now and the end of the year, and while you've got your salaries on pause, your wages on pause, is to reinforce your standards, or perhaps make clear your standards and start with clean, sober, on time, and dressed right. The information that is in the employer-employee manual. Now, I gave you a sample. It's very generic. Make it work for you. This is where you would communicate things like when your start and stop times are, what your vacation days are, what's the policy for calling in if you're not going to be there. If you do have a disciplinary process, put it in this employee manual, but you better stick to it. Otherwise, you can get in trouble for being discriminatory. This set of rules doesn't apply to this other employee. So the employee-employer manual is something you can do and focus on with your team while you buy the time to revamp the way you pay. And I heartily recommend you do that, because if you can't get them to show up clean, sober, on time, and dressed right, why would we put in a bonus plan? Are you kidding me? And that's how I sell it. All right? Then determine which positions are going to be focused on for you and me during the course of this program. I heartily suggest that you pick one. And now what will happen is different people on this webinar are going to pick different positions. And the ones I'm going to stay focused on are going to be the salespeople, service tech. Many of you have contracting companies or home service companies, or for instance, Linda, you have photographers, you have technicians. A lot of parallels there. So a technician is someone who may sell and serve, also produce the work. So in the salesperson's case, they make a promise and someone else makes good on the promise. Service tech makes the promise and also makes good on the promise. The installer is production and not sales. One of the biggest hiccups I see is rewarding installers on sales when they don't make sales. So we'll clean that up, and then we'll also talk about some simple ways to create a transparent and pretty darn fair way to pay the office team. But my encouragement is that you pick an area of your company that you're going to tackle during the course of our work together. That would be a reasonable expectation. And then pay attention to the counsel that I give to someone who's working on another area. So if you choose office team, create the way you pay for the office team in real time together. Let's get that done. And then you can, in the recordings, go back, revisit, or, you know, send me an email if you need a little refresh on how to do the other positions. But I think between us, we're going to have a nice cross-section. All right, then for each department, we're going to look at what kind of scorecards are appropriate. For sales, the scorecards are easy. For production, the scorecards are fairly easy. And I know that the carpenter, you're the one I've got my eye on for how we can create something that's going to work for you, the building contractor. In the office, it's a little different. If you don't make sales, we have to look at other behaviors that we would be measuring. And I've got some ideas for that, and I know I'll learn something from you too. You're going to grandfather in current team members, perhaps. We'll get into that a little bit deeper today. That means that you may create a way to pay them that you'll honor for them, but no one else is going to get it, and I'm going to be transparent about that. So we may put them in a position, and that is a good to be you today moment. But from here on out, the new kid has to move up the ladder. As long as you're clear about that, that is an option. I'll give you some more on that in a minute. Okay, then you're going to commit to review, tweak. We may keep score both ways, the old way and the new way, to make sure that it's working out how we thought. Boom, boom, boom. We're going to be discussing different ways to pay. You're going to create rules of the game. I just went to a company who has revamped the way they pay. They did so many things right. It was really fun to see them. I'm not taking new consulting clients, but I've been working with this company off and on for the last 10 years. They've done so many things right, but they never wrote down what the rules are, and it starts to drift. What constitutes a sale? How do I get a day off of goal? it has to be written. So sometimes just these little tweaks are going to make all the difference, just to make sure you document how you're going to do this. Weekly meetings, put on the master projects. Let's see, as we go, you're also going to bump up against other things that need to happen that are outside the scope of our work together. Then it's going to go on your master list of projects, and they may not get done immediately. One or two at a time, you chip away at them. Boom, boom, boom. Sometimes I have to just look at things I've done and admire how smart I've become. This checklist is worth $1 million to you. All right, make it your own. Thanks, Linda, for sending that email out to Victoria, a reminder to put it up in a document fashion. All right, and that's on that replay page. So she'll add that. Fair enough? Okay, and I'm going to open this up while I have the chance. And then I'm going to get back to the spreadsheet, or the I'm going to get back to the PowerPoint for just a second and share some thoughts with you, and then we'll go dig into that a little bit. Okay, now there's the checklist. Let's talk about assessing the mess. This is how I do it. Let me share what I mean by assess the mess. You might have to get your nose right up against the screen on this org chart, and this is an old org chart for Zoom that we used once upon a time. But the structure is still very similar, and I'm gonna get specific about how we do it, how I've done it with my clients, and then I'm gonna expect some questions. All right. So the content portion of this class I like to finish around the top of the hour, and then for most of the last half hour. You know, it's a 90-minute webinar, and most of that time I want to open it up to questions. You can be typing in questions as we go now, and you can save them for later, and I do like putting someone on the spot and having them talk to me, so keep that in mind as well. All right, so what I would do to assess the mess is this. I would get my org chart, or I would create one. So let's talk about how you can create one for starters. I think I even put some instructions. Hold on. Uno momento. I don't know why that happened. Oh, just bear with me a second. Somehow I changed the view. Play Jeopardy music for 2 minutes while I figure this out on my screen. I gotta get this out of there. Okay, on my screen I've got it duplicated, and I didn't mean to do that. I don't know how I did it. All right, we're back in business. All right, I think one of these is instruction. Oh, you know what? It's in the Bare Bones Biz Plan. Okay, so in the Bare Bones Biz Plan, under the chapter, Just pay attention. I'm just going to give you an oral command on this. Under the chapter called Building the Team, it's week 2 in the Bare Bones Biz Plan, there is a, let me go to the table of contents. Oh, here we go. All right, right here, there is creating an organization chart. This is a good example of how I may make reference to something I've written that'll support what I'm about to say. There is a lesson on how to create an organizational chart. And what it involves primarily is taking Post-its, and you and your team would have a stack of Post-its, have a big wall or glass window or flip chart. I mean, you need some space. And you would go through, let me make this from the current slide. You would go through all the tasks that need to be done at your company. Well, we have to answer the phone. So someone writes answer the phone on a Post-it and slaps it on the wall. We have to enter invoices, slaps it on the wall, another Post-it. We have to do the actual work. So it's take kids' pictures, if that's what you do. Somebody has to do that. Somebody has to, you know, sell the job. Boom, it goes up. So Post-its are going to go up on the wall. Then you're going to move those Post-its into like piles, and then you're going to create positions on the org chart. If I can, I don't know why I can't get this to work. I don't know what I've done technically, guys. Hang tight with me, but I don't know why this isn't playing as a slideshow. Okay, let me just let me do something else. I'm going to try and just make this bigger. It's small enough as it is, but you don't need to read anything on so much as see the overall structure. So again, you can put your nose right on this, or you just follow the overall structure of it to get the idea of this. Okay, so you're going to then organize those post-its into like concepts and move them to this section, for instance, is marketing. This section, for instance, is finance. This section is the service team. This section is the installation and sales team. And this section is warehouse and fleet. Now, for those of you who've created an org chart, you can skip that part. But if you haven't created an org chart, go to the Bare Bones Biz Plan, get a little bit of counsel, and you're welcome to send me your org chart, and some of you have, which I will review in just a moment. Notice on Howard Partridge's slide, he creates an org chart where he talks about being a director, a manager, and a technician. If you use his org chart, my only concern with it is that this is too vague. What happens to the strata of technician? Is there a junior photographer and a senior photographer? Is there apprentice, tech, and senior tech? Is there a salesperson level 1, salesperson level 2? We are going to have more than 3 people involved here, so the detail needs to be fleshed out. So if you're using Howard's approach, you can overlay that onto an org chart like this, and for instance, this may be the director, these may be the managers, and then these are going to be the technicians. Does that make sense to you? So let me know. I'm sorry if I've lost you with some of my technical challenges. Give me a little bit of feedback on the question box to make sure I'm coming across. Is this making sense so far? Questions, comments, concerns? Got it? Woo! Excellent. Okay, and Chip, thanks. I've got your name on a slide because you sent me over your org chart, so I'm excited to use yours as an example, if I can get there. I don't know what I'm doing with my computer today. All right, so on the org chart now, what you're going to do is you're going to fill it in. You're going to go through and put the names, and this is in private or with one very trusted person, because this exercise is where the unfair stuff comes to light. So you're going to put people's names in boxes. So you're going to put their names and then what they currently get paid. And you're going to assess the mess. You're going to look at it and go, well, why does Aaron make more than Bob? Do they essentially do the same job? And if there is some justification why Aaron makes more than Bob, Aaron has a different license. Aaron has been here longer. Aaron has the highest sales of the company. There may be a good reason why he makes more, and you're going to write that down. If there is no good reason why he makes more, he's a man and she's a woman, and she just doesn't ask and he does, you're going to clean it up. And here's the rule. You can move someone up, but if you move them down, you're going to lose them. For those of us who were at Howard's Inner Circle meeting, I got pretty aggressive with John. I'll just use his first name. But John said that what he did is there was a guy who wasn't producing, so he had a come to Moses meeting with him, and he said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pay you less as what, punishment? He actually used the word charity. None of it sounded good or charitable or anything to me. Because keep in mind, whatever you do, the person with whom you're talking about their pay also has to go home and talk to the person who's waiting for them at home and say, I'm now getting paid less. It's not going to fly. So my rule is that you can bring people up to a level, but I heartily recommend, in fact, I have never recommended that you bring them back down. Eek, I got from Chip. This isn't, there are just some holes you're going to fall into that are you can avoid, and this is one. So what you would do is you would decide that Aaron, let's go to like Chris and Steve. Chris is at 28, Steve is at 27. I'm going to bring Steve to 28. Now, I don't have to give Chris a raise, but Chris will wonder, how come Steve got a raise and I didn't get a raise? So once I map this whole thing out, I will be having individual conversations with these guys. All of this is done individually. Do not post an org chart. Do not post a new way to pay and have someone discover this for the first time as they're looking at it, or you're rolling it out in a group meeting. Are you with me? Say yes. This is so important. All right, you've got to clean up the mess individually, and you want to assess the mess before you do anything. So what you would do is say, what if I moved Steve to 28, Chris is at 28 already, and I'm going to call those guys senior techs or techs level 2. And then you're going to look at the other guys. This one's at 18. This one's at 1775. What? This one's at 15. This one's at 12. I will tell you that the most ambitious job I ever had, and this guy is one of my franchisees now, he's a peach, but when I went to work with him, he's the guy I talked about last week, Sam, who had the circus train. He had 25 different ways to pay his technicians. And there was this just bizarro set of rules for the drain cleaners because he just thought no one would ever want to do it. So we paid those guys all sorts of things, and they were held to no standards whatsoever. So it was the most challenging exercise I ever encountered, and we still fixed it, and we fixed it in short order by doing just what I'm recommending. So you make some lumped areas together. At Sam's case, what we decided to do is have three levels of techs plus an apprentice. So an apprentice was someone who was in their first 6 months of work. So this covered all new kids, and they got paid one wage. All right? And then we decided to striate the technicians into level 1, level 2, and level 3. And we grandfathered people into those levels, okay, by pay first. Then we looked at it and we tried to justify, well, what is the difference between a level 1 and a level 2? Does he have a license that the other guy doesn't have, or gal? Is there a certain period of time, like you have to be at a level 1 for 6 months before you can apply to go to level 2? And here's the really sexy, groovy part. What Sam decided to do was to create manuals for his company. And as people learned different sets of tasks in the manuals, they graduated to the next level. So, for instance, to become a tech level 1, if you were an apprentice, you have to learn the first 10 tasks. All right, and as you're an apprentice and you're getting paid to be an apprentice, you're going to then learn those 10 tasks, and when you've signed off on those 10 tasks, ta-da, you get a certificate, there's a little ceremony, you get a raise in pay to move to the next one. So then what makes a tech level 2 or a tech level 3 and ultimately a senior tech or a field supervisor? Your team helps you determine those levels. But the manuals are going to make it uber easy. So you can see how there's more work to be done, but I could start by paying them according to the level and then announcing, as I have the individual conversations, Steve, you're going to move to $28 an hour, and you and Chris right now are going to be the senior techs. It's good to be you today because you got senior tech status, but for anybody else in the company to get to senior tech, they're going to have to demonstrate a certain level of skills, and you're going to go back and learn those skills with them, so no one can ever say you didn't earn this spot. I'm going to start paying you as a senior tech now because I've already made this arrangement with you and with Chris. I'm not moving anybody down the ladder. So it's good to be you because you're paid at that level already. And you're going to go back down and take the training that's going to justify your position here. Now, I know I'm sharing a lot. This is good stuff. We can go over it again. But the beauty of this whole process is, for our purposes, this can help clean up the way you pay. And the repercussions of this are so exciting. Because as Steve and Chris went back down and took the training and helped develop the training at each level of the company, woohoo, then they earned their stripes at their position and were training on how to be field supervisors. Field supervisors are the ones who train people to move up the ladder. Is this great or what? Now, for some of you, one of the questions I had, what if I don't have that many levels? If there's two levels, I'm always a fan of two levels, new kid and seasoned vet. What does it take to get a raise around here? If I'm a new kid, I shouldn't make as much as a seasoned vet. But what do I have to do to get there? Sometimes a time period is helpful, no more than 6 months, but I also don't want to ruin someone's career path. If they're super smart and they can pick this up fast, be questioning of how much time it really takes to get from one level to the other. So I'm giving you the broad strokes of how this can be done. Now, this approach works very well with service techs, with installers. So going back to the list of people that we would do this with service techs and installers, where there is some gradient to getting good, the approach I'm taking is really, really helpful. All right? Now, for the office team, it's a little bit different. I would really love to be able to fix what I've got going on my computer. I wonder if I could just shut something down for a second. While I take a little pause and work on my screen, can I have you guys ask some questions here? So go ahead and pause and give me a little bit of feedback, and let's see what time it is. Okay, we've still got some time to go through the office team and share some general information. Here's attendees. All right, I'm going to try and... Measurables of learning, top left corner, you can click from current slide. I am clicking that. Can you see this? And it's not going. For some reason, this thing is just stuck. I think, does that help me with anything? Let's try this and go here. And then let's see if I can escape. I think I'm in, you know what, Alan? The escape, I think, helped. Let's see if when I go back here, it helps me out. There is something, I have a second screen that is kind of jamming things up on this. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make Howard Partridge, Michelle, I'm going to make you the presenter just so I can undo and redo. And now I'm going to make me the presenter again and see if that doesn't work. Sorry again about the technical difficulties. Thanks for hanging with me as we go. Make presenter. Show my screen. Yeah, I don't know. There's something I did wrong with the setup here. I'm going to give it one more try, and then I'm going to ignore it. All right, I'm not going to get there. All right, so again, I'll just try and make this a little bit bigger. Get your nose to the screen. It wasn't that much bigger on full screen anyway, so hang with me. Let me look at what your questions are. What are the measurables of learning, Linda? It will depend on your company. So what I would do, what we did, is when I was, let me take working with Sam over here, because this is going to work really well for you specifically with technicians, with photographers. If we have a never ever photographer, we just have to decide what are we going to pay them for starters. Is it going to be 12? Is it going to be 15? What am I paying people now? If I'm paying somebody 15, the easiest thing for me to do is to pay another never ever $15. All right, and then if the top of my ladder is, say, $30 an hour, I'm going to sit with, and in your case, it might be you and Jarrell, and you're going to sit and you're going to assess the mess in terms of put down who's getting paid what, and the two of you are going to look at what they're getting paid and look for some obvious measurables. Well, this person went through this class, went through our training class. This person has had X number of months experience. This person has photographed more than 20 schools. Oh, that could be. Okay, when you have photographed 20 schools and you've got, you have done that successfully by what? By what kind of measurement? You guys are going to look for things. Here's the rule, though. It has to be behavioral. It has to be something that we're not going to have an argument about. What I don't put in this, you know, levels of pay is ultimately anything like has a good attitude. I don't know how to measure that. You're just setting yourself up with an argument. It's all going to be behavioral and it's going to flesh out. For our purposes, though, you can clean up the way you pay and then be candid with your team to say, what I haven't done yet is fleshed out what the path is between these levels. Maybe it's only two. The person who talked to me, I'm trying to remember who that was. Was it Tessa who talked to me about their company not having so many levels? If there's only two levels, what is it that gets you from one to two? I think one of the conversations that people never want to have is, what is the top of the ladder? If you hit $30 an hour, that may be as high as the ladder goes for basic pay. In which case, the only potential for making more money could be bonus and commission on sales above goal. Okay, those are more, that's more to come. But for the basics of how they get paid, we could assess the mess and see what we could do with hourly wage. Now, if from level one to level two is where a bonus kicks in. And if they are salespeople, the bonus on sales is quite an easy one to figure out. If they are production people, let's not use sales to give them a bonus, but instead figure out what the measurement of productivity might be for them. We're going to dig into more of that next week because we're going to talk about scorecards and how we could measure what going above and beyond means. But with the reward, the main course would be how do they get paid in order to keep their job and their position, what is their base pay? My overarching philosophy is that the basic way we get paid is in exchange for doing the job to minimum acceptable levels of performance. And then to make more money in a bonus, I exceed that in some way. I bring jobs in at or below bid, or I sell more than I am required to sell. That's my basic philosophy here. But what I can do is at least line up the hourly people to make some kind of sense of it by narrowing down who should go in like categories. Does this make sense? Okay, what do we have? Assistant, trainee, photographer, lead, and certified. Okay, you've got a really nice striation there, you know, gradient that you could bring someone up the ladder, Linda. That looks good. Are the first level boxes business functions or management positions? On this particular set, and especially if you're going with Howard Partridge, these would all be technicians. This may be the managers, and this might be the director. So if this is the service manager would essentially function as the director. And then the field supervisors or the lead technicians over their teams would be managers. And then these would be the technicians. And so this is what I'm saying with Howard's org chart. I think you're left hanging here on a company that has more levels. And that's what we're just adding a little more detail, more tactics to the mix. All right? So the org chart itself is going to show the ladder of opportunity. At some point, you could become a manager or a director. That's kind of cool. But notice Not everybody can hear unless we continue to grow with additional locations, with additional teams. This is why I love me a multi-shop or franchisable model, is because ultimately as I work with these guys and they start to get good, they will leave you unless you make the game bigger. It's not wrong that they leave you, but what I've taken on as a challenge, and you may want to too, is how do we make the game big enough that as these guys get good, I create more teams, I get better at marketing, we acquire companies, or set up another location. Those are things that now go on my master projects list. All right, now, it's 10 o'clock, and I'm just going to go briefly into, say, office positions. All right, now, this is a lot of content today, and I want to open up the call to some questions so we can get clear. And I do want to, Chip, I want to go through your org chart, and I may have a chance to go through someone else's too. All right, so with the org chart, what we're also looking for is the ladder of opportunity, what's my position, and what is the visual representation of how I would move up the ladder, and ultimately we are going to make transparent, it's not going to happen today, everything I'm suggesting today is behind closed doors until you get it hammered out. Are you with me? Say yes. All right. And then we see also who is my boss and what is the management position I may aspire to. Noted that not everybody can be a manager, but hey, maybe I want to be a manager. What does it take to get there? You're going to have to move up the ladder to get there. Now, when it comes to the office, let's go over to the office for a second. Right here I have marketing position and financial manager. Again, you can put your nose right up there, but I think you'll get the basic idea. In the office, very often, we're going to have less of a ladder of opportunity. We don't have a junior bookkeeper, senior bookkeeper, bookkeeper level 3, etc. Generally, we have marketing tasks, administrative tasks, and financial tasks. And most of the positions in the office are part-time. In other words, if I work in the office, I will put on and take off several hats during the course of the day. Are you with me? Okay, so one of the ways that you could assess the mess in the office, and this is huge, 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 do men and women make the same amount? In the office is where I see the biggest challenges there. My deep sadness in the field is that we just don't have any women in the field yet, but I intend to change that. But men and women should make the same amount, and if you think that's so, then you start in your own company. You vote for people who you think will help make that happen, for sure, but it's not as powerful as you actually routing out that inequity and fixing it. I've had some real challenges in the office with that. We figure out the way we pay, and then the next day a guy gets hired and he makes more than all the women in the office. So if that's happening, if you're doing some things that are unfair, I would consult with the legal team and say, hey, I intend to fix this. What is my exposure? Is this going to be a problem? Like, this is real stuff, kids. But if you fix it, you're going to be in better shape. So with the office, what we could do is have a top of the ladder and bottom of the ladder. You start in the office, and you're going to become a CSR. Everybody starts as a customer service rep in the office is one way to do it. Has to know how to answer the phone successfully. All right? And the CSR, say, makes $10 an hour or $15 an hour or whatever. And then as you tackle additional skill sets as defined by the positions on the org chart, let's say I am a CSR and I can also do accounts receivable. I've mastered that manual. And I can do accounts payable. I've mastered that manual. And I can do HR and payroll. I've mastered that manual. For each of the positions on the org chart that I can play backup on or fill the box of, I could get an additional dollar an hour raise. But I top out in the office at 20. See, what happens is what I don't like about the yearly review is this, I'm going to angle for a raise. It's going to be super secret. And then somebody later is going to ask me, and I'm going to feel compelled to either lie or tell them. And it just gets so weird. Could we be real at where the top of the ladder is? Someone asked last week, could you give an increase in living percentage raise across the board every year? Yes! If you're willing to raise your prices every year, yes. Isn't this good? All right, so those are a couple of options. Now, for today, next week I'm going to talk about the installers, just because we're running out of time. And I feel like I've dumped a ton of content on you, and I want to make sure that this settles and you have a chance to review the recording. So we got the recording better today, but I have to shut down and restart my computer for me to fix what's going on here. So I apologize for that, but I think we're still getting through the content. And I'm going to open it up in the questions again. Oh, the office functions are generally marketing, finance, and admin. And in my world, I generally put them into two categories, marketing and finance, and then back and forth between the two. You know, the CSR and the IT guy may report to a marketing manager, which is probably you, and then the financial manager, which is absolutely you, may have a controller, someone who then makes more per hour because they actually have some skills or a degree or something that helps them do the more sophisticated accounting tasks. But for the most part, data entry, AP, AR, payroll, could be a per hour raise for mastering the manual for how you do this. So what you may look at is what you've got. Suppose in the office you have somebody at 20, somebody at 18, and somebody at 15. And the person at 18 only knows how to answer the phone. What you might say is, before you move to 20, you have to earn the 18 by going and mastering those manuals and then help them get there. Well, the manuals aren't written. Help me write them. This is all getting real and true with your team and ultimately moving towards transparency. I'm not saying somebody won't quit. I'm not saying that people won't get upset, but they already are if they're going to. Like, if we're already going to be in this a sticky situation, it's already happening. It's just that you're going to now pull the Band-Aid off and let this thing, you know, clean it up and heal it. So there could be some challenges. That's why you want to do it individually. You want to do it behind closed doors when you're working out some of the details, but you're telling everybody on the team, I'm working on it. I will get your input. I want to talk to you about it, and we're moving towards transparency. When we're done with this, we're going to post it. And this is the time you're buying to assess the situation, to assess the mess, and start laying out the path towards fairness. All right? Okay, so let's see. The top players in an organization must have a career path. The top players in an organization must have a career path, which is where the franchising model is so great. Also can work as an independent business, as you mentioned. Okay, this is really good. Now, what I'd like to do is open up the call for the rest of the time we have together. I've got some good questions here. And Chip, if there's any way I can get your org chart on the screen, we're going to do that. And I think I have you down here. So let me just, I'm going to go find your org chart. And Chip, I'm going to put you on the call, okay? Oh, yay, you called in, which is great. Hey, Chip.
Hi, Ellen. How are you?
Good. Now, you're sure that I can show this to you, to the team? Yep. I want to get your permission. All right. Let's open this up. And again, I apologize. I think I just need to update everything. And then I can open it up for you. Okay. So here's the org chart. And you sent me a PDF. How did you put the org chart together? What's the tool that you used?
I think it was Microsoft PowerPoint. And this printed off as a PDF.
You did a great job, that's why I wanted you to share that too. So you used PowerPoint, and I really like how you did it. Now, what he did, this is different, and so I love it that you're engaging, and this is what I encourage the team to do. We'll do more of this on office hours, is I want them to deliver content and then make it real with people who are brave enough to show what they did. And I'll show you what I love about what you did. He's got, with each of the positions, he's got the position descriptions, and you would have to kind of detail for us which is which, like which position description goes with which. And this is half of his org chart, and the other half is down below. So hang tight, because at first I thought, oh, that poor Ruth just became a slave. Right? Like, when I look at this, when I see one guy with one direct report, and then that direct report has 60 million people reporting to them, that's called a slave, and that's not right. Or, you know, a shield to keep you from the rest of the team. But then I also notice part two, Chip does take responsibility for the other areas of the company. So this is really quite a functional org chart for your team. Tell us a little bit about your company. What is it that you guys do?
Electric and plumbing, residential service.
Electrical and plumbing. Okay, excellent. Mm-hmm. And then how big is your company altogether? What's the total number of people? I see quite a few.
There's nine people in total.
Nine people total. Okay, this is a really great example of this. All right, so if, now, here's what else I like, too. If we are going to, you want to grow this company?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you built a company that would allow us to grow it, and so what I like what you did here is Ruth is the service manager. Ruth is also the field service supervisor for electrical. So essentially in electrical, what we've created is at least a two-part tree. And what my encouragement for you is, what's the path from apprentice to tech to senior tech, or is it just apprentice to tech? How do I you know, move up the ladder here? What justifies the difference in pay here? And Ruth being the field supervisor here is fine because she's the service manager. What I would be very cautious of doing is over here making Bob the field supervisor when there's no minions.
Mm-hmm.
Wait till you have minions, get them good, and have two of them compete for the field supervisor position. And I only love the field supervisor position when there's more than one. Because what happens so often is we crown a guy to become a slave. And now they've got to figure all this stuff out. And they go from being in the field full time where we tell them what to do all day long. And now we want them to be a miracle worker, Superman. So the better plan would be that we get clear on how they move up the ladder, and it keeps getting better and better at your company. Don't apologize for it not being perfect. Have them help you make this ladder clear. And then what additional responsibilities would be expected as you move up the ladder? You've got your responsibilities. You might peel them off into a separate document just because you're going to run out of room here.
Mm-hmm.
But what you've got is for each of the positions on the org chart, if you're clear on what the responsibilities are, that's awesome. And for each responsibility, there should be one or more procedures in the manual that will help you be successful at doing that. You start with the responsibilities, your team helps you develop those, and then they also help you write the manuals, or you hire somebody to do it, which can be a shortcut. I mean, it's still grueling work, as Linda will attest, as other people will attest who've hired someone to help them with the manuals. The manuals take a while. It may take a year to get the basic manuals written, and then it's exhausting and relentless to get them in and used. But it is what will ultimately allow you to create this ladder of opportunity and a systematic path for people getting good. But for our work, we do want to know, do these guys all make the same amount, the technicians?
Within rounding error, yes. Yeah, there's a the gradient.
Error. Boy, I love that.
There's about $1.50 gradient from one to the other on that list.
Why?
Typically, it's length of time at the company.
Okay, so you have some opportunity there, don't you? And they are going to be hitting you up for what my next raise is and why. So you're in a perfect position for you and Ruth. Is Ruth on the call?
No.
Okay, you and Ruth would be the ones. Now, why is Ruth in these positions to start with? What's her story?
Okay. Started as an electrician, was very capable with that, and kind of worked her way up from there.
Okay, so she did get crowned. She did become the slave. She has the opportunity now to make sure she doesn't turn into a crazy person like you. And
no,
would you
I'm trying to clone her and get more of them.
Okay, you let me know how that turns out, Chip. We've all been there. Okay, but this is so perfect. Like, you're giving me the perfect softball. Everything I've said today is for you. Because if you will make Ruth a crazy person. You just did what I told you not to do with Bob, but it's okay because you're going to start with where you are. And even acknowledging Ruth, Ellen said, when she listens to this, it'll be great. Ellen said not to do what I did to you, which is I'm going to make a slave of you, and you really, she is a shield. Ruth, you do this so I don't have to, but we're not really setting her up to be successful here unless we give her some tools and direction, just direction, for what this should look like. And ultimately, if the two of you, for starters, go through and make some, you know, what she'll know. God bless her that she's a woman electrician. I love her more than ever because of that. Yay, Ruth. Now, Ruth will have some clue as to what we could do. In fact, Ruth may have very high standards that you might have to just say, simplify it, sister. It's too much. What's a level one, level two? What are the five task differences between these two skill sets? Is one has a license, one doesn't have a license? Is a little bit of tenure one of the requirements? Boom, boom, boom. And Ruth can help you figure it out. And then what we might do is if they're all within a $1.50 of each other, if there's some justification for that $1.50, clarify it and tell the guys. Now, if they want to go to the next level, we got to create one. And what is it that they're missing, according to Ruth, and maybe through discussing with them, that would create that next level to senior tech or tech level two? So you would have new guy or apprentice, tech level one, tech level two. Or even if there are appropriate licensing, a journeyman electrician, a master electrician, or like I loved what Linda had. Linda already had really great titles for the people who are moving along the ladder in their company. You and Ruth start it. You talk individually to the guys. You figure out what that difference is going to be for the 150 and make that clear, and then what the next level is, and then you just decide on what your entry-level position is going to be. So you've got some work to do here, but this is a very nice structure so far. Now, in the office, you've got a CSR, Denise, another CSR here. Is this a CSR? Oh, this is a this is dispatcher, so this is like level one, level two for CSR dispatcher.
Correct, yes.
Okay. Yep. Ultimately, I like, I don't know if I have time to do this. I'm just going to give you a little tease, and we can talk about this maybe in office hours. Ultimately, I like to move the dispatcher, and you're almost big enough to do it, over to operations and separate CSR and dispatcher functions. If you want to grow, the person who dispatches is answering the phone, it keeps you small if I'm asking that person to not make their life miserable by booking way too many calls. But I do want to overbook as a CSR and then ask the dispatcher to deal.
Got it.
It's best if I, did you get that? Okay, it's really important.
Yeah.
And it's best if you ultimately separate those, but in a small company, even telling Denise that can help her give yourself a little more grief, because you only make money like the airlines if we're overbooked.
Right.
Okay, because people fall off. Guys, you know, get lost. We have a gap in the schedule. It has to be a little more aggressive, generally, than I might do unless I'm made aware of that. Okay, so does Denise do any admin clerk reports to Chip? What is admin clerk? These are
filing
responsibilities right here?
Yeah. Okay. Yes, exactly. Yeah, scanning, filing, marketing support, KPI reporting, permit filing, scheduling inspections, and ordering standard materials, generator maintenance kits, switches, outlets, that kind of thing.
So with Krista and Denise and Amanda, this could work really nicely that if they cross-train and learn how to do these additional tasks, like Amanda does this, she's first string, but Krista can support her when she goes out of town or as you grow and it gets busier. then right. Well, that is room for a raise.
Now, the bookkeeping and the admin are part-time positions. I don't
they
have the
workbook.
They're
part-time positions. Yeah, and they're all part-time positions. This is what this, for most offices, every position, even answering the phone, isn't there time between calls? Guaranteed there is on some days, right? So what are the and also another little like tease for you. This is more the cherry on top. I'm talking basics today, but the cherry on top with everybody at the company is that projects also provide additional skill set development. Like, you know what, if you take on this project, there is no additional raise for you. I will make time available for you, but I'm giving it to you because this project is something you've been dying to do. You love it. Let's say it's we want to do uniforms in the office. I've never had them. Denise is a huge advocate of it. Say, Denise, would you help me with the project of getting uniforms for the office? Yes. Okay, the good news for this is it is a skill set, managing that project, that will help you in whatever you want to do in your life. And you said in addition to doing this job, you have goals of starting your own business, or you want to become more involved in your church or your school. Knowing how to get projects done and then learning how to delegate is a skill set that you might be well served to have. You could sell her for just the you could sell the project for just the skill set development, and I have seen that work numerous times. And for really big projects, like you say to Amanda, we're upgrading our software. You might also have a project that has a little bonus on it. If we figure out steps of delegation, what this project is worth, you get that bounty if it comes in at or below bid and according to our plan. So, but what never get, not never, but what often doesn't get addressed is the top of the ladder. Like, if every year Amanda came to you for a raise, does she get 10% every year till she's getting $300,000 a year?
Yeah, no.
So what I think should be talked about is that there is a top to this ladder, and this job may not work for you forever. Hopefully the flexibility of it, you know, if you can add some other cool things about the positions, people, again, will say, well, I know I'm going to top out at this job, but the people are awesome. The opportunity to learn new skills is there. The flexibility is just incredible. Then at least we're getting real. Also, because we're going to have manuals, there could be some churn at your company. Some people are going to move on to other things, and that's all okay. You see where I'm going? Okay, really good question on here is, what is answer grape? I saw answer grape up here too. What is it? What are answer grapes?
It's the person you go to for technical knowledge when you don't know what to do. So the generator won't start, and I'm on the phone with tech support. Tell me what's the code on XYZ, that kind of thing. So it's your go-to person when you're a technician and you don't know what to do next.
Is that like, are you a Nexstar member or PSI member? Nexstar.
Yeah.
Is it a Nexstar word?
No, it's something I picked up. Yeah, I picked it. I've always found in every organization there is the person when you don't know what to do, you go find, because they just have a lot of institutional knowledge. And
is that the field supervisor job right there?
Correct. If in military terms, it's a lot like a sergeant. They know where to buy the tape and how to get the stuff done. They've just been there, done that, and it tends to be some combination of education and experience that allows for that to happen.
Okay, one more thought here before I'm just paying attention to the time. We have only one more minute. I don't know how Ruth will respond, and this is going to go to everybody on the call right now. As we start having these conversations about how do other people move up the ladder, how do we document what it is that you do, you will run into, at some point, someone who becomes very defensive about their position and either expresses it or doesn't. But this idea that if everybody knew how to do my job, do I become less valuable? Your job, my friends, is to communicate that you become more valuable, because now we can grow this thing. So for Ruth, her freedom, her career path, gets very, very good if she can develop additional field supervisors. And like in the service, for every 4 to 6 people that we have, no more than 8 or 9, like if you had a platoon, you need a new field supervisor. So I would split into two as soon as I could. As soon as I can justify one of these guys moving up in the field supervisor position, because each of the field supervisors would have three or four people, I would make that a goal for you and Ruth. Is she on board with that?
Yes.
See, and your org chart already represents that, which is absolutely awesome. Hey, there is a question. Are you willing to disclose your general sales volume? You can say no.
Yeah, we're about 1.2 million.
1.2 million. Okay, and so, you know, the follow-up, too, is that's why we have on the checklist that you will also look at the, you'll look at the financials to make sure that we can support it. And so, you know, you're also looking at your KPIs every week, every month, et cetera?
Yes.
Okay, so that's going to make sure that you don't shoot yourself in the foot. Okay, so that's where we are with Chip. Let's just wrap up. I went through the big panties discussion. Next week, we're going to be talking about keeping score. What I want you to do, your homework this week, is to either make your org chart or to start putting the dollars in boxes and assess the mess. Bring your questions to office hours if you can make it, which are coming up on Tuesday. All right? We've got the 6 webinars. I want you to leverage your investment by using access to the information and to me from the Facebook group, on email, at the office hours between now and next Friday. Right? Get yourself over to the page, and the bonus office hours are going to be this Tuesday at 6 p.m. I gave you a ton of information. It is time to get off the phone, all right? Now, just because my next call isn't for a half an hour, for those of you who are interested and want to stay on a minute or two more, you're welcome to, and I'm going to just, I'll continue to record, and I'm going to answer a couple of questions that we've got on the line. I kind of ran into a little hiccup there when my computer froze up, and I apologize, so I didn't get to all the questions I would have liked to. I never know how many questions we're going to have anyway, but thank you, Chip, for participating. For a couple of you who put your org charts up on Facebook, I will make some comments on Facebook later on today, so everybody get to the Facebook page. And I'm going to just zip through right now and look at a couple of questions and do a little speed round on some of the questions. Chip, how are you? Did that help you today?
Yes, it did. Thank you.
Okay, I think you're in great shape. When I saw your org chart, I was really stoked. So you're very close to being able to create, you know, a ladder of opportunity. Start with what we pay the people, because that's going to be the most interesting, and then have them help you create that striation. There will be more to come on that as we go. We'll also talk about the install crew. Do you have separate installers?
No, not really.
Okay.
It's pretty much service techs. Yep.
Then let's keep it simple. Love it.
Okay, thanks. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye. So I'm going to mute Chip, and I'm going to also stay on the call a little bit more. The time office hours are going to be 6 p.m. Central for an hour, hour and a half, depending on how busy we are, on Tuesday. It's not Tuesday the 4th. Sorry, Tuesday is the 9th. Tuesday the 9th. All right, and then thanks, Alan, for catching that. So is it how do you determine field supervisor level that you were just discussing? Field supervisor comes after, comes after you've created that ladder of opportunity, and a field supervisor is generally a lead tech or someone who, this is the key part of field supervisor, is going to be responsible for developing the team. Now is going to be training, riding along, creating managing the projects and the training program with the team that they have, and helping them get good, helping them meet those minimum levels of participation. So how much does that person make? More than a senior tech, and their bonus could be based on the performance of the people who report to them. More to come on that as we talk about scorecards and what is good enough. This week we're staying focused on assessing the mess. Get clear with where you are now. I like this org chart. It applies to my company as a way to get a copy of it. The one that I put up, Perry, I'm going to make available to you. Okay. Is the goal to move Ruth out of field supervisor? No. The goal is to add more field supervisors. We're not going to move Ruth down the ladder. We're going to leave her in those two positions. I like it very much that she has not already crowned, say, Joe to be another field supervisor, and now we have too many chiefs and not enough Indians. Let her grow her team and fill in that next field supervisor position, and now the two of them will co-own that position. Ideally, Ruth moves out of field supervisor position when she's got three or four field supervisors, and then she resides in service manager position. So good. This is good, good stuff. Okay, let's say, Ellen, wouldn't a change in price of materials and equipment automatically make... Let me see if Jerome's still on. Hey, Jerome, can you be heard?
Yeah.
Hi. Hey. Okay, Jerome, because it's frozen on your thing, what is your question? Help me understand it, because it looks like a juicy one.
Okay, I do air conditioning work, and naturally we have price increases almost every year.
Okay.
You know, wouldn't, if you're using the same percentage every year on your markup of materials, wouldn't that automatically give you some leeway for cost of living increases with your people?
Okay.
It automatically raises your prices.
Yeah. I love it. Anytime we're discussing a price increase and someone says they do it every year and they're comfortable with it, Jerome, I'm making a big heart with my fingers right here for you, okay? Because in every industry, like for some reason, you know, in the dirty jobs industry, there is this self-esteem issue that can keep us from raising prices. When other things go up, our prices should go up too. Here's the key to it. I am not the smartest person on the planet. I'm really smart, but even when it comes to numbers and financials, I keep it really, really simple. As long as you're making the money that you want, all is well. As long as if your goal is to hit 20% net profit and X number of sales and you start to dial in what your percentages should be in labor and materials, that is senior to any advice you get from me or anybody else. But if, for instance, I restructure the way I pay, and I go to my budget and I plug in those numbers and I see that I'm going to take a hit on my profitability, I'll go raise my prices as one of the things that I might do. Or I might try another budget. Well, what if I just got bigger? Is it a volume thing? Because as I get bigger, my overhead costs don't necessarily all go up. Maybe with more volume, I'll be able to make this work. So ultimately, as you put your budget together, there's dollars, there's percentages, and there's heft. So like at Zoom right now, when we put our budgets together quarter by quarter, our overarching question is, what are we going to set as a goal for the number of guys we're going to have? And it's arbitrary. You just make this stuff up. But then we play it out. Well, if each of our service techs, the minimum acceptable level is $300,000, then times 10 guys, I've got a $3 million budget. I'll massage that. I'll look at that budget in the spreadsheet and go, okay, that'll work. I don't really need to increase my prices. Or it won't work. Maybe I should increase my prices. I may increase what I expect of the guys a little bit, but then I'll have the money to pay them and to do the things that I want to do. So if you are already raising your prices, if you massage the way you pay, and if you're measuring every week and every month and it works, I'm giving you a big blessing. If it doesn't work, you adjust.
Correct.
All right, and I am that blunt.
I do look at it every month with my CPA.
Pardon?
I do look at it every month with my CPA.
Every month. And my standard is, if for those of you who participated in the Financial Blast program, we talked about all of that. That's why I do that program first. Get your financial house in order. And if you have to, then that's also on your checklist, right? You got to measure your overall performance as the company. My standard, Jerome, if you choose to adopt it, is once a week I like to look at the big rock numbers. What does the balance sheet look like in terms of what do we have for cash, current assets to current liabilities? What's our cash position? What's our debt look like? And every week I'm going to look at sales minus expenses equals. I'm going to look at profitability compared to budget so that I can make adjustments while the game is on. I mean, that's my standard. Every month is good. Once a week is better. Make sense?
Okay.
Okay, so that just might be, if you're doing that already, to get the down and dirty numbers once a week and then let your bookkeeper and your CPA work together with you knowing exactly what they're doing to clean up the books once a month so we have a good, solid tick-tock, the game is locked, the numbers are right before we move, you know, as we move on through the next month. but I do like to look at the score while the game is on. Imagine the World Series, and they said, listen, we don't have time to keep score. We'll send the score out in 2 weeks. See, the score changes the strategy.
Right.
Right? And so the same with your business. Very, very cool. And thank you for sharing. And any other question I can... Did that help you?
Yes.
Okay.
Answer my question.
Yay! All right, I'm going to take one more comment. John, are you available? You're on the phone. Hey, John.
Yes, no, I'm available.
The top players in an organization must have a career path, which is where franchising comes in. Let me just address this. In my world, I 100% agree with that. I do want folks on the call to know that isn't the only way to grow a company. Whatever you put as your vision, as your point on the horizon towards which you're marching is fine. If you want to be a one-man company or one-person company, it's fine. There's no wrong in any of it. But I came to the philosophy of wanting to grow the company and grow through franchising because I became obsessed with opportunities for people who are moving up the ladder. Does that resonate with you, John?
Oh, yes, it does. And the reason I said that is I come from the franchising background.
What franchise were you involved with?
In the restoration industry, ServPro, Pure First, Pure Clean.
Oh, I should call you, man. You could show me a thing or two. I'm skinning my elbows on this franchise stuff.
Well, let's talk.
It's good, though, isn't it? I think that I really love the franchise model.
Yeah, it's wonderful. What you're doing is awesome.
Aw, anything I can do for you? Thanks for giving me a shout-out on that. I thought, I love your philosophy. It isn't required, but it's where I got to with this idea of, can I make next locations available? Could we set up our guys as potential franchisees someday? It makes me cry talking about it, but that is absolutely my intention. Woo-hoo! Well, thank you for sharing. All right, kids. Tuesday is November the 8th. Oh, my gosh. It is Wednesday. Oh, we are going to be in so much trouble. It is Wednesday that we're doing office hours. I had Tuesday, and I thought, it's the election. People are going to watch the election. They're not going to come to my office hours. So I made it the 9th. I don't know what I was smoking this morning. Really, I wasn't, but I just got confused. Office hours are Wednesday the 9th. Many people have already signed off on the call. I'll make sure that Victoria gives you the right information about that. Thank you, Alan. Sorry about that. And let's see what else we can do for questions. I'm going to call it a day. You guys have been patient with me with my technical challenges. Love, love, love. Do your homework. Get over to that replay page. Download the checklist. Assess the mess at your company. That's going to be all about the organizational chart and where you currently stand and what can we do to make it as fair as possible and buy yourself a little time to flesh out the details as we move into 2017. So if everybody feels good on that with the information you have today, go out there and get me some questions. I will see you on Wednesday. The 9th for office hours. We'll meet again on next Friday at the regular time, and I'll see you on Facebook and via email in the meantime for additional chat. Sound good? Love, love, love! Thanks, team. Bye-bye.